What's really going on out there? See, things don't want to go right already, but they're going to go right now. All right, y'all. Hey, what's going on out there? Welcome to Let's Talk on Blog Talk Radio. I'm your host, Mr. Talk. And today, we got a great show planned for you. Huh? Yes, we do. Yes, we do. Today is, it's Wednesday. Oh, is it Wednesday? Yes, it is. It's Wednesday, right? Hump day. Yeah, I know some of y'all don't know about that hump day, but yeah, it's the middle of the week. Some of you got 2 days left. Some of you only have one. But anyway, I hope you enjoy the middle of the week because what? It's that time of the week. All right. So how y'all doing today? I hope everybody's doing all right, all right, all right. Man, I'm telling you, just a wonderful day. It's kind of cloudy here, so I hope everybody else got that little sunshine going on in your life or outside, however you got it. But hey, I hope you're enjoying it anyway. All right, so let's see. Let's get the preliminaries out of the way. You want to be a part of the show today, no problem. Just give us a call, 347-838-8622. Email me, ericletstalk@gmail.com. Hit me up on Facebook if you want to. Let's Talk with Eric Jackson at facebook.com. And don't forget our chat room where the conversation is always off the chain, or however you want to say it. And that's www.blogtalkradio.com/Mr. Talk. And those are all the ways you can participate. And believe you me, however you send it to me, we can take care of it for you. We get you in there. All right, so if you don't want to call into the show, just send me a message and I put it out there for you if that's what you want. I don't know, some of y'all be kind of, y'all kind of difficult at times, you know what I mean? Yeah. I know it's too late, Antoinette, it's too late. I was trying to think of one too, but I got one. I got one just as good, okay? So we all good. Oh, but thank you anyway. All right, so, man, I tell you, we got the chat room filling up already. We got our Laura Evans. We got Antoinette, my chat room coordinator. Of course, we got the intellectual himself, Deep H2O, in the house. And then we got the very, very honorary P. Yankee in the house as well. So, you know, everybody's getting there. I know Pianki didn't like that when I called him honorary, but just okay, you're honorary. But anyway, I want to say welcome to the show, y'all. And you got Divine Design in the chat room as well. Welcome. Okay, and I see we got somebody on the switchboard already. They ready to jump in. So, hey, I think we ready to have us a good time today. Oh, yeah. And I'm feeling good. And hello and wealthy, whatever, if that's what you want to say. I think in a little bit, if you sure you want to say that, but it's all good. It's all good. Y'all do what you do, right? All right. Hey, if y'all want to hear some songs, y'all want to hear some songs played on the show, just give me a call, you know, send me an email or something. Now, I'd be more than happy to play it, you know, but just give me a little time to find it and get it loaded and everything, and we can make some things happen. You know what I mean? Hey, I need that time, right? All right, so, you know, while I'm waiting for everybody to come in, because I got a big, big thing I need to do, and I want everybody to hear it so everybody will understand what's going on. anyway, so check this out, man. I don't know even how to say it, except for, you know, we had a big loss today. Maya Angelou passed earlier this morning, and that was a big, big, big loss. You know, were you aware that that woman can speak six different languages fluently? Not just to say she spoke them fluently. Isn't that amazing? I mean, wow. You know, she was a renowned poet and author. Ooh, she worked with Malcolm X, Martin Luther King Jr. You know, wow. 30 best-selling books. You know, and she received the Presidential Medal of Arts. I mean, what couldn't this lady do? You know, and when she spoke so eloquently. And it's just like, wow. You know, and that's a big loss, because when she spoke about the truth. A lot of truth, and she spoke from the heart. You know, some of the things she spoke about actually happened to her, you know, and that's where she got her inspiration from. So it was a very, very big loss to the African-American community. So, you know, we want to send our condolences out and to her family and all those that's around, okay? So... that was that. Hey, sound like an engine just shut down. Okay, let me stop. Uh-huh. You know what? And let's see, what else we got going on? That's basically it. That was the main thing going on today. You know, it's bad when you lose somebody, you know. And, you know, in fact, she had a quote that I always love to hear, you know, and you know, we talk about this every day on the show, every day on the show. And some people just don't pay attention. But, you know, it's simple. One of the quotes said, when you know better, you do better. You understand that? When you know better, you do better. But you got to listen first. You know, some of y'all think y'all know every dang on thing. And, oh, yeah, buddy. Y'all come on in now. Come on, get settled in, because I got a lot going on today, and I want everybody to hear this. I'm putting notice out on some things today. Oh, since we put notice out, let's get with the rules of the show. All right? When you call in, act as an adult. You know, no personal attacks, no use of any derogatory terms. You know, like the N-word, the B-word, the H-word, or whatever you have, you know. No secret snipes at each other trying to put anybody down. Let's see. Am I missing anything? Keep your comments short and sweet, man. Some of y'all get long-winded. You know what I mean? I mean, when I say y'all get long-winded. You know, and y'all talk a long time and say the same thing over and over and over. And as H2O say, we start circling the drain, because the same thing over and 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 over. So please, watch your time limit. And I'll put a time limit on it if you want me to. You know, I think some kinds yeah, that's a good one too, Elvis. When someone shows you who they are, believe them the first time. Oh boy, is that really true? And is that really true? You know, even though you try and take up for them a little bit, you know, sometimes you just can't, because they are who they are. You know, ain't that what Dennis Green say? We knew who they were. They are who we said they were. But some of us hard headed. We have to learn the hard way. That's another one of her quotes. But yeah, that's. Man, I tell you. But Look, I want to play something for y'all that happened yesterday, late on in the show. And I don't know how many of you actually heard this last conversation that was going on when everybody was giving their closing statements. So I want to play this little clip for you, and then when I come back, I'm gonna comment on it, and we're gonna get on to the get on. All right. So it's about 5 minutes long, and I'll see y'all on the other side. 1-1, are you there?
Yeah, hi, Eric, Mr. Solution. How are you? I've been listening to the program, and just a couple of observations. Number one, I think Henry Jew summarized it quite well. We are in a situation where there's hostility, there's competition, and guns are still needed. And the Second Amendment is still in place, so I'll just let that stand. Of course, Beasley asked a great question. Is how does a group, and I think you mentioned blacks, how do they get blamed when most of the serial killers are indeed white male? And that is true. However, this is a game, this is a real-life monopoly game, a competition. And when you are the weaker group, you're going to get dumped on. Just because people keep guns and drugs in your community, and I believe there's evidence that supports that, does not mean that you're supposed to take up guns and kill someone or consume those drugs and ruin your damn life. And so that has to do with your moral underpinning. There are people who come out of the ghetto situation or the poorer situation, and they advance. And that's what's important. But the economic situation is overshadowing everything. And again, if people don't become focused, and I've heard it said a couple of times on your show, people have mentioned the economic component. The group that's the underdog refuses to acknowledge how this country works, then they're always going to be the underdog. They're always going to be the victim. There is no Messiah. There is no Savior for you. You know, God has given you the energy and has put people in your path that can help you accrete, that can help you ascend to where you need to be. But you have to avail yourself. The I is very important. And so I think that just to get on and talk and not to go out and do that. And, Eric, I don't hear you mention it. I heard you shot someone the other day for mistakenly calling you me. If you or your son were in the same condition I am, you would be in a good place, morally, financially, educationally, and so on and so forth. And so the way one speaks is important. And the word agreeance, and the word conversate are not words. So we shouldn't claim to be educated and then use words that violate the English or violate the language violently. And so those are just some observations. I know I hit pretty hard, but, you know, I apply the same principles to myself that I share with others. So I'm much harder on myself than I am others. So anyway, great show, and thanks for taking my call, because, like I say, I was listening and I was surveying the situation. Oh, and by the way, just one other incident. Regarding the young man, Rogers Elliott, I think women make a number of frivolous choices, and although I don't agree with the way he carried out what he did. I think that was insane. I think that was wrong. I think that was uncivilized and counterproductive. But I do think he raises a valid issue about the relationship between men and women. And that's going to have to be discussed at much greater length, because women do choose guys that are jerks and assholes. And I wish he could have found a more creative way other than, you know, taking people's lives to express himself. But, as they say, it is what it is, and this is a lesson for us to learn. All of us are each other's teacher. We learn something. You are an instructor, no mistake about it. So there's a lot to be learned from this particular tragedy, as I say. But I'm going to the University of Santa Barbara. I've been meaning to get up there. I've heard it's pristine, picturesque, and absolutely just stunningly beautiful. So I'm going to go up that way and just check it out. But anyway, great conversation, and thanks a lot.
All right. So those are some of the remarks that were made by Mr. Solution yesterday afternoon. I think we were kind of in overtime, so I don't know how many of y'all actually heard that. Well, you know, and I had a lot going on, so I really couldn't respond, but I'm about to get busy. And he said he hit hard. Well, I'm about to hit hard back, all right? And it's simple. You know, I do believe that I'm a very, very patient and fair person. I give everybody a chance to speak and speak their mind. But let me get something right with everybody. No more. I refuse to allow my listeners or myself to continue to be talked down to. Okay? It's not happening. Like we're a bunch of elementary children or something. That is not going to happen. Now, let me get a little bit more specific. All right? Mr. Solution, just because you think you have an high IQ or you consider yourself the perfect expert on every dang on thing, one moment you're a finance counselor, one moment you're a relationship counselor, one moment you're a scientist, you don't know what the hell you are your damn self, and yet you keep calling in here and talking down to us? No. That's not happening anymore. Number two, don't you ever put me and my son in your mouth again talking about we'll be better off if we were like you. That is a lie. All right? Number one, you don't know my, just like you say, you don't know my conditions and you don't know we're financially, socially, whatever. But don't you ever, ever again put my son or me in your mouth again, because that ain't even happening. All right? Now, I'm just putting it that way. Because believe it or not, I think we're better off not being like you, okay? You need to learn some goddamn humility, number one, all right? And, you know, that's what you need to do. Get it together, all right? Number two, here's another thing. You know, you're very, I'm trying to be nice about this. Let me put it, your presumptuous ass get some humility. You know, number one, like I said before, you don't know every goddamn old thing, nothing. And, you know, I try and be careful because I let you call in and I kind of defend you every now and then. But no more. You know, you're going to quit calling in, taking snipe shots at my audience and my listeners, because we're not having that anymore. I'm not having it anymore. And anybody else out there think their IQ is so freaking high that they talking down to us, you can go on your dang on merry way too. The party time is over, y'all. The games you like to play, No, it's not happening. Okay? So you can go and play your little games with somebody else. And you're going back to Debbie Daly. You know, and let me put something else. Sometimes the so-called smartest person out there is really the dumbest, because you don't know how to shut up and listen half the time. I'm just going to put it out there. You don't. You know, you call me in, you chat, you jaw jack all, take up all the time and say nothing but the same old thing. Let me tell you, Claude Anderson does not run the world. If he did, he'd be out there marching and doing something besides writing books. And you just quoting Claude Anderson. Well, he's not the only one who writes a book. You know, you keep yelling about we need to evolve. Well, you're not evolving. In your favorite words, you digressing. Don't you ever tell me I digress. Now, just because I don't speak fancy words or you don't think I've been to a great university or what have you, that don't make me less than you. Have you fell and hit your head on a rock? Apparently you have. You know what I mean? So let's get something straight. You know, don't call in here with that nonsense again. Don't do it. Oh, I'm sorry. I forgot. Let me hit hard back and let me go on and make it clear. Let me make it clear to you, all right? It's simple. you're no longer welcome on this show. I'm just going to put it. You have been banned. B-A-N-N-E-D, or as us low-talking people say, you've been banded. Banded. All right? Since we butcher the English language so well, you've been banded. All right? And I don't ban people that often, but you have hit the list. You know, so go and take it somewhere else. You can say this one of those shows. You say it's for your entertainment. You're right. This is for your entertainment. Go entertain yourself somewhere else because it's no longer needed here. And you know what? And if I would have thought of this song that my friend sent me, I sure would have used it. But you know what? I got something else for you. All right? So I see y'all after this break.
Used to be a time when I did.
That's Robert Craig. What I do. If I thought about it, I would have found Hit the Road Jack, but it's okay. It's okay. I may get that tomorrow. I'm sorry about that, y'all, but I couldn't take it no more. And I just had to let it out. It's been bothering me since yesterday afternoon, and I just couldn't take it. I had to do what I had to do. So anyway, it's all good in the neighborhood. So let's have some fun. I see we got Love and Light done showed up. Pianca, I seen you already. We got guests 972, 1026, 1025, and 1019 in the house. What's up? What's up? What's up? All right. Anyway, so let me bring these people on the line in, and we're going to get to talking about some things here. All right. Let's see. We got, 111 in the house. That's my man, Joe. I know who that is.
You're right.
All right. Hold on. Okay. All right. We got 312. That's my man, Cloud Nation, in the house.
Hey, how's everybody doing?
All right. We're doing wonderful. All right. And see, we got 111 here. Let's see. That's even Michael Beasley. Let's see which one it is. 111, welcome to the show. Who you got? Who I got?
Yeah, Mr. Solution.
All right. Bye, Mr. Solution. All right. All right. We're good. I'm seriously not having it. I don't know why. I don't know why you're playing with me. I'm serious. I'm serious, you know. Let me go on and give the real words here. Okay, yeah. I don't know why he's playing with me. I am serious. You know, I'm not having it anymore. I'm not. Okay. Anyway, so how y'all fellas doing today? What's going on? Joe, you just find this hilarious, don't you?
Oh, I love it.
Wow. Wow.
Oh. I did. I found this fucking funny. Oh, sorry about the ass.
Man.
Hi, this is Mr. Solution. Hi.
You know, but you funny. All right. Oh, Lord. All right. I'm just saying. You know,
What? If you're going to respond to him like that, I just came off a show about an hour and a half ago.
Mm-hmm.
I forget the name of it, but I have never heard black women put down black men the way this chick was doing it.
Really?
I'll get you the name of the show. I'm out of my PC now, but I'll get you the name of the show before the show's up, because I know you probably want to download it. It is so poisonous. It's poisonous. That's all I can say about it. I think I was going to comment on it on your show, but I think you would probably want to comment on it once you listen to the download.
Really?
Oh,
really?
Man, it's poisonous. I'm talking about, like, men are degenerative, non-womb-carrying, waste of society or something like that. And she puts down Christian women, especially if they had sons, because the sons were a waste of flesh or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
I came across the tail end. Knowledge was there. If he shows up today, he'll probably tell you more about it, you know. But I'll give you the name of the show. I forget. It's Diva something or other.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, I'll have to go and check it out.
Mm-hmm.
Well. Okay. So anyway. So what's going on, Akeem? How you doing, man?
Oh man, I'm fine, but I'm a little saddened by the loss of one of the greats, one of our great poets, Maya Angelou.
Yeah, I know, man. I know that, you know, that's just like, whoo, Lord, have mercy. You know, and I mean, that was really unexpected, you know. I didn't realize she had been ill. You know, you're so used to seeing her everywhere, you know, and just, you know, that's a great loss.
Oh, you
know,
you're talking about Angela Mayu. I thought you were talking about Mr. Solution.
No, we done moved on from him. We have moved on.
All right.
Yeah, we moved on. You know, I done said what I had to say about that, and that's it. Okay? So let's move to bigger and better things, Maya Angelou. You know, you know, that's, oh, Lord, have mercy.
But you won a Pulitzer Prize, right? Or did she win the Nobel Prize for Literature?
Yeah, she won some Grammys also. I think she won a few Grammys.
Grammys? So,
yeah, yeah, Grammys. Yeah.
What, spoken word?
Yeah, spoken word.
Oh, really? No, I didn't know that. Yeah.
You know, I mean, think about it. You know, it takes something. This woman spoke fluently 6 different languages, man.
Mm-hmm.
6 different languages. You know, that's, who, Lord have mercy. That's a whole lot.
Well, that's true.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, most of us can't even speak one correctly, and she spoke 6 of them fluently?
Mm-hmm.
Woo. Oh, Lord have mercy. Hold on. Let me see who I got here. All right. Let's see. 111, welcome to the show.
Yeah, Eric, why did you hang up on me?
Just don't get it, do we? All right, let me bring Pianki in. Hello, Mr. Pianki. How you doing today?
Doing pretty good. How you doing? What's the topic today?
Oh, man.
There is no... well, we haven't started talking about one yet. Why? What you want to talk about?
I usually don't lead off shows. I like to comment on the topic.
I know, because you know. Okay. So what?
How you doing,
what?
Joe?
Hey, Pianki, what's up?
Okay. So what are we going to talk about? I got one.
A lot of people have been dying here lately. Bertha Gilkey, she passed away.
Okay. Who was Bertha Gilkey?
Someone locally here between St. Louis, Chicago,
mm-hmm.
a couple other places.
Oh, okay.
So that's the drawback of living. Dying, really, death is really not all that bad. Only drawback with death, it just lasts too long.
Mm-hmm. Oh, it just lasts too long?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. How long is that?
No, I guess eternity.
That's eternity. Oh, maybe, maybe not. But so once we get to talk about that, though, you have to be careful now, because everybody believes in different things, right? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yep. You know, that's one of them hot topics right there. That's one of them hot topics.
Let me ask you, good old religion.
Yeah. Let me ask y'all a question, though. Have anyone heard anything about the Obama administration proposing a race-based legal system in Hawaii? Has anybody heard anything about that?
A race-based legal system?
Huh? Yeah.
What is it, a race-based or a rate-based?
Race.
Race-based?
Mm-hmm.
Legal system? Based on a race? Based on people's race?
I guess so, yeah.
I never heard of it, man.
Huh?
I haven't heard of it.
Yeah, I know. I just was, you know, going reading earlier today, and that's what I found. Willing to create a two-tier race-based legal system in Hawaii, where one set of taxes, spending, and law enforcement will govern one race, the second set of laws will govern every other race. The diversity proposal is portrayed as an effort to create separate in-state government for people who are Native Hawaiians. Does that sound fishy or what?
You know what? If it was in a state here in the United States, yeah, it would sound extremely fishy. I would say communism, you know, has really put its foothold in America, the contiguous states. But in Hawaii, there's still a lot of Native Hawaiians who really don't like the fact that they were annexed as being a state, and they may not want to follow the laws of the Constitution. They may want to follow their own tribal laws of tradition and history. So I'd have to know more about it. If it wasn't Hawaii, I would say, oh, God.
I think it's good.
You think it's good? Why do you think it's good, Pianki? Yeah, of course, you would.
Because Native Hawaiians have been trying to have that for a long time, especially as it applies to education. Mm-hmm. You know, many Native Hawaiians still have resentfulness of how they became part of the United States anyway.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I can't blame them either.
Wow. You know, and I'm reading further in the article, and it says, you know, if this works and he gets this to go in Hawaii, what's to prevent creating similar self-governing racial groups out to, say, like Cajuns or Orthodox Jews or Amish, you know?
Nothing. It should be. You know, we had a state rep in Nebraska, and I can't think of his name, wanted to have the school district divided up. They wanted the African-American school district, wanted the, I think, the Hispanics and all others, which I think would have worked fine. Didn't say that one couldn't go to the other. But in order to cater to the disgruntledness, especially as it was coming from blacks, complaining about how things was going, that was his idea.
You know, I think it's a lousy idea, because that means the government is in charge of integration and segregation. If people voluntarily want to have their own towns, communities, school districts, representatives, etc., that's done on a voluntary basis. But to have the state, you know, look, we all know, whenever the state gets involved in something, regardless of whether the first time that they apply a particular law, I mean, even if it turns out good the first time, it will morph into something that's destructive. The Constitution is bad enough, but the Constitution is better than people coming along with their own ideas. So I'm not for it. I don't like the slippery slope idea of it, and I don't like the face of it.
Okay. All right. But that makes sense. I mean, because I was like, and, you know, I went to see, you know, was this just one of those jokes, you know, how some people put jokes out there. And I read it. It's about, man, this whole bunch of stories on it. But it was done so smoothly. Remember, you know, because we always talk about that, you know, how they do stuff. You know, you got one thing that's the major story, and then you look around, they easing something in. And then I was, this is a good example right here. You know, it's a good example because, you know, you haven't heard anything about it. But let me bring Beasley in. See if Beasley heard it.
Okay, huh? If you bring him in, while you're doing that, I just want to say, in Hawaii, it might work because 60-70% of the people are still Hawaiian.
Mm-hmm.
And that was taken away from them. In the contiguous United States, the statehood was developed centuries ago. Wow. And I wouldn't want the division into the segregated type of laws and communities, et cetera.
All right, Mr. Beasley, what's going on, man?
Good afternoon. Hawaii's been a state for 55 years. You know, for the people that are Hawaiian that don't really approve of their statehood, including the United States, they should get over it. Much like the Cubans that have been living in Miami for a couple of generations are still mad at Castro. This is just some fluff attempt that's in violation of the 14th Amendment, the Equal Protection Clause. That was the basis for Brown versus Board of Education. Mm-hmm. Something like this is unconstitutional. It won't fly. There's no rationale for it. It's completely illegal and unconstitutional. It's a story to, I guess, get an emotional reaction out of people. That's my take on it.
That's it, huh?
Short and sweet.
Short and sweet.
Yeah, I'm gonna disagree with the bees on this.
Okay.
Because Hawaii, it was their land was taken away from them by American and English businessmen who revolted against the king, and then the troops came in and took the land. They call it annexing, but it's actually capturing, invading a land. Same thing with Alaska. Well, you know, a little bit different. Alaska, what was it, 24 bucks, Seward's Icebox or some shit like that. But the thing is, with Hawaii, it was a complete takeover of a country which is not within our borders, way outside our borders. It was a land, a foreign country, taken over by the Americans and the English, and then corrupted the king, and then he allowed the annexing of the island. So I'm disagreeing with you, Bees.
Yeah, that's true, Joe. And Hawaii does have certain privileges that is isolated to Native Hawaiians themselves. I think it's a good move. And by the way, Eric, I'm gonna put in the that was Ernie Chamber, who was a state rep, and he wanted to divide Omaha schools into three separate districts, which I think would have been a very good thing. It wasn't saying that nobody couldn't attend, but that was the way that they fell upon the circumstance and the demographic lines.
Mm-hmm.
And it would have been a good idea.
At the same time, Bianchi, when it's being controlled by the state, they're not going to first start off with rounding people up, shooting them, and bringing them to the camps. They're going to do things which seem to be acceptable to people, because it seems to comply with what they want. But then down the line, as we all know, they're going to take something which seems to be good, and this to me doesn't even seem to be good, but they'll take something which seems to be good, and then they'll morph it into their own corrupt agenda. That's happened time and time and time and time again. So I'm going to disagree with you.
And what's our protection against that, Joe?
Protection against what?
What you just said, what's our protection against that happening?
Against, what, the division of the United States?
No, what's the protection against something that seems like it's good or that might get popular opinion at one time that's really detrimental to people? And that's called, it's the Constitution. And it's the Constitution. That's the guideline.
Well, you're right.
That's the law.
Of the Constitution.
That's the law that should be adhered to. I thought normally you would say that.
I'm not a constitutionalist as much as people think or as much as I may come across. What I am is an anarcho-capitalist with libertarian leanings, and I believe in property rights and in people having individual freedom. But when you read the Constitution, when it has eminent domain in there, the general welfare clause, the commerce clause, the state's sovereignty clause, the power to tax, I could have written up a better Constitution. As a matter of fact, I had, because I was talking with one of the talk show hosts one day, and I wrote up I didn't complete the Constitution, but what I had written up would have served as a great foundation for the Constitution. But as I said, the Constitution in itself, to me, is faulty, but it's a lot better than what people want to do under the guise of the Constitution. But to answer your question, really, what's the protection against what's going on? You're right. The Constitution is the guideline, but it's not the protection, because the people in Congress, for years, over a century, they've bastardized the Constitution, and they've morphed it, bent it, warped it, in order for them to get what they wanted to get against the wishes and the will of the people.
That's the beauty of the document, is that you could morph it, bend it, and do all of these things to it, but it doesn't break. And it's too bad that you wrote a better Constitution. I guess you missed your calling. You should have been born 200 years earlier.
You're right.
With kerosene lamps.
But, you know, Joe, I was just going back over to Nebraska. They spent 20 years busing black kids into white districts in the surrounding counties. And it just so happened that Nebraska is naturally, because of where people prefer to live, segregated.
Mm-hmm.
According to this, during the time, 8 years ago, 44% of the school district was white, 32% was black, and the remaining 21% was Hispanic.
Mm-hmm.
And the city was pretty much configured that way along those three different racial groups. So you always got those vanguard organizations that's trying to come up with ways in order to disrupt something that people naturally do upon themselves, and just cannot stand to see something that is all one kind. You know, what they need to do is go buy them a bag of Skittles, and that way everything is all mixed up.
Mm-hmm.
But as I said before, the way the city was naturally segregated, well, the schools in the neighborhood look like the children that conform those neighborhoods. And Mr. Chambers said that rather than trying to entice kids from one side of town to go over to the other side of town, just take the entire school district budget, and divide it up amongst the way these demographics lie. And that would have been a good idea. Nobody could say that they get more than the other because of other reasons than the number of children that's sitting in the classroom, which is the way it should apply anyway.
I'm really confused, Pianchi. I'm listening to your stats. 32% of the school-age population in Nebraska is black, and that I don't see how that is when the black population of Nebraska is only 4.8%, which is far below the average in the United States. The Latino population is 9.7%. Are you making up statistics?
That was in 2006. Look at the newspaper, New York Times newspaper article that's in the chat room.
Hold on a second. There's a big disparity between 32% of the population and 4.8%.
Read the New York Times article
right.
That's in the chat room.
Well, you know, these are the arguments from which both of you are right, because I think Nebraska would have a total population of blacks of only about 4.8%. The Yankee, but I think
I'm looking at
it's the total. The total district is 46,700, of which 46% are white, 32% black, and 21% Hispanic, and 3% Asian.
How can that be, Pianchi? That just defies logic.
No, it doesn't.
I'm using the U.S. Census Bureau.
No, look, let's say, for example,
I mean, U.S. Census Bureau is telling you how many people is in the state. It doesn't tell you how many people are in the school district.
So do you really think that it makes sense that if 4.8% of the population of Nebraska is black, that 32% of school-age children are black? Does that make sense to you at all?
What makes sense is, pay attention again, the Omaha school district has 46,700 students.
Okay,
of
so
which
you're specifying it to Omaha. That might be true.
44% is white. 32% of that 46,700 is black. 21% of that 46,700 is Hispanic, and 3% was Asian or Native American.
Yeah, so 4.8% of the entire population of the state. How big is Nebraska anyway? About 8 million or what? Well, let's say it's 10 million. So 4% of that would be 400,000.
No, he just specified it to the
40,000.
The metropolitan area of Omaha, and his stats might be right.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So I don't know. I just thought he was talking about the entire state of Nebraska.
No. But again, Pianca, I'm disagreeing with you, because even though, see, the operative word you said is naturally. In other words, it was organically done. So people took it upon themselves to migrate into places where they felt more comfortable, to be amongst their own. But now the state, this representative, now wants to take control of that and do to that particular location what they would do with gerrymandering, with the Democrats, Republicans, redlining when it comes to neighborhood resettling. So I'm not for it. I'd allow things.
Well, read the when you get a chance.
Okay.
Read the article and you see what was behind his reasoning.
Even if the good intentions were there, again, the state always has a bad track record. If something can be done well, it can be done well without the state involved, in my opinion.
Well, that's why he wanted to turn those areas of the school district over to the local community, which I think is a good thing. And matter of fact, most state constitution does relegate that authority of a school district to the local community as it applies to the curriculum and so on and so on and so on.
You know what? I actually have to agree with you on that one, Pianca. I think it should go back to the local community. You know, especially when it comes to the schools, I think a lot of stuff would be a whole lot better. So I agree with you there. See?
Mm-hmm.
Very good.
Well, I disagree with you too, Larry.
So you disagree.
No.
I mean, you know, I've said this quite often, you know, and you know, in certain instances, you just... Mm-hmm. We need to go back to the way it was there for a hot minute, you know?
Well, I'm not disagreeing with the fact that the school community should be independent. What I'm worried about is that if you've got a state representative which is interested in this, he then will want to enact some kind of law that will take over the school board or the school district. And school districts are under state or local ordinances anyway. So, in other words, they're under control of the state anyhow. So if he wants to take more control of this, then I would be very, very worried, because the funding doesn't come from the parents. The funding comes from the state. And where the funding comes from is where the power lies. And I'm worried about the power.
Well, all districts are not funded directly by the state. Some districts are funded locally.
Without the... Without being attached to the state? Well, that's a good thing.
Yes.
It's true.
Some districts receive nothing, maybe 1% from
really?
The federal,
okay.
And less than 3% from the state.
But I'll say, but what neighborhoods are the ones that can afford to finance their own, though? Is it the financially affluent neighborhoods? You know, let's say the inner city neighborhoods, they can't really afford to finance their own neighborhoods to get everything going back, correct?
I got a couple of districts close to me that does that.
Really? And how are they doing that, though?
high taxes in that area. They have a couple of different school districts besides the big, which is huge, the LA Unified School District. There's in Santa Monica, there's a separate Santa Monica school district that covers one high school and probably a few junior high schools and a bunch of elementary schools. And Beverly Hills has its own school district, too, and they only have a couple of schools. I think Beverly Hills School District only has, like, maybe one or two elementary schools and then the high school, which always performs well. So you just have to – if you have an affluent enough area or people that are going to agree to the higher taxes, they can fund their own. And they still get money from the state, but I guess they're because they're affluent and because they agree to higher taxes for education, that they make their own school district. But it's different all over.
Okay. I just thought I asked that question. It's interesting. Let me bring Mr. Supreme in and see what he has to add to the conversation. Hello, Mr. Supreme. Welcome to the show, sir.
Righteousness, Lord, and righteousness is one off in the line. Just to say something about the schools, you know, my feeling, you know, the black, the original, about right, old schools, you know, the government school system is failing us all across the world. We need to have our own schools, man. Especially from, I don't think it's so much the university. I think we need to start from kindergarten and junior level. That's where we need the schools to be more important to the black nation and more help to us, so that we can, it might stop them, deter them from going into gangs and other things.
Don't you start, Beasley.
We can't be concerned with that, brother. We can't. They've got their own schools as it is. This is their school, and we're going to their schools, and we're not performing. Teaching us right, role models for us there, apart from sports stars. Black Beasley, that the school system's holding down the black man. There's just a few black men who can get through, who can adapt. It's only the ones who can adapt like yourself, Black Beasley.
I didn't adapt perfectly, but I could handle the curriculum.
That's what I'm saying. You can fall. You know, you can be a people. You can be, you know, you can be yourself, and you know when to change. You know?
You got to wear a few different
You know how to act around white people. Now, some of our people, we don't know how to act when we're around white people.
I'm going to tell you something, Supreme. In one side of the coin, that's a good idea, but with some of these officials and inner-city black politicians, you might as well let somebody from Mars control that, because some of these people are completely crazy, man. Like they have here in St. Louis, where they closed down a popular park, have signs around the perimeter of it that says no parking between April and October, between 4 and 10. You have to really explain to me the logic of a decision like that.
Because we have to look at this now. So how the devil system is run right now, for you to be a teacher, all you have to do is pass certain courses, you know, like out here to become a teacher, you have to pass like an English course and a maths course, right? But what it is the test, they break them up. Like, you got 18 seconds to answer each English punctuation question or math question. They give you a certain amount of time. So they make sure that, you know, you're quick. You know what I'm saying? But they don't, the thing that they're missing is if they can relate to people. There's no hand, you know what I'm saying? They give you that year of training, but basically once you get through that year of training, you're in. You can have your own class and then you're good to go. But, you know, I think there should be, you know, if the devil wanted to do it fairly, he would make sure that these teachers can interact with their students. Not just the fact that they understand the curriculum and, you know, they know it in a very advanced manner, you know. It should be more to the criteria when you're dealing with people. Is that person a social person? You know? Can he interact? If you're going to do it, if the devil was doing it fairly, can this person interact well with ethnic minorities? With other people from different countries? You see?
Well, how would he have to do that then?
How would they have to do it?
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, like I say, you know, if they wanted to do it fair, I don't really know how you would have to sort do that. You know, maybe obviously you would have to put that person around, you know, test that person. You know, if they've got a class and like there's 10 Asian, 10 blacks, 10 whites, see who picked up, like you test the class afterward, after that teacher's in there. That would be the best way. You test the class.
Okay, what you're saying.
When they've been in the lesson, they look at how many people have passed. Because I don't understand, a lot of teachers, people are failing left, right in their classrooms, and no one ain't supreaking these teachers. As long as they don't get in anything interpersonal with the student, they get to keep their job.
You
can't
stay
for
the
whole year
and
I think pick up a paycheck.
Seniority is one thing, yeah, and then there's the, you know, you can't get fired type of thing. But what I wanted to pick up on from what you were saying, Supreme, was that how is a teacher supposed to relate to different ethnicities in the classroom?
People are people.
Well, that's what I'm trying to say.
Kids are stupid, and you can't tell me that they're that different. But I want to commend you.
Yeah, but
Supreme, Poverty Supreme, because I was paying close attention, and you only said devil 3 times in 3 minutes.
There you go.
Did you win that bet, Beasley? Was that the 100-pound bet?
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm tracking it.
No, I'll see.
No, I'm just trying to say.
But I'm on my best behavior.
Why is that, Mr. Beasley?
Huh?
Okay, why
is that? Because I wouldn't be able to live if you put me in exile like Mr. Solutions.
Well, you know, really, Poverty Supreme.
Anywhere close to being like Solutions.
Oh, I have a sense of humor.
Yeah.
That's true.
Go ahead, Pianki. They're going, Pianki, get what he
actually,
got.
Actually, what Poverty was saying is true, and I can quote a statement that was made by the Missouri Commissioner of Education, Mr. Schroeder, at the time. He made a statement on the NPR radio station that was being hosted by Bill Wilkerson that black kids do indeed do better under what he described as culturally themed curriculums and is popularly known as African-centered curriculum. Matter of fact, I got a letter from him on that during the time when there was a lot of emphasis put on the fact that Missouri had passed a charter school law back in around 1998.
Well, you know what, Pianki, I've been saying that for a while now. You know, we need to get it back to the cultural side of it. You know, because the school systems all across the nation now, that, you know, they're focusing on some of them got the Common Core and others just have that standardized testing going on, and that's the only thing they teaching. So nobody's really concentrating on the cultural side of it, and I think that's where our schools are falling short. You know, besides just teaching the regular basic things that you need to know, besides just what's on that test, because, you know, teachers, I know here in Texas, you know, teachers are being, their pay and their jobs are being graded on how well the students do. You know, there was cases in Philadelphia, Atlanta, and a couple of other places where, you know, the teachers and even the principals were caught cheating for the students so that they could keep their jobs in the schools to get money. So
thing was in Atlanta, too.
Yeah, that's what I said, Atlanta.
Yeah, well, this is the thing.
So much pressure.
But this is the thing. Oh, sorry, brother. But this is the thing. If you're going to mix up the, you know, the students in different racial and ethnicities, right, You've got to make them, and I understand you might say, well, it's in our country, it's in the United States, so they've got to deal with everything in the United States, but for there not to be no racism in the future, this is, you know, if the devil wanted to be fair, if for there to be no racism in the future, you have to make everyone respect everyone's culture. So if there's a public day, everyone has to respect the Chinese culture. That means they have to have, you know, that learns about the Chinese, the whites, and you know, and all the other races. You see what I'm saying? It has to be done properly and fairly. That's why there's a lot of these. That's why there's a lot of racism in the future. Because if you know, grow up, you're only taught to respect. Like, say, I'm in the UK. I grew up. Every time there was a English public holiday, we had to, you know, pay tribute to it. From Pancake Day to May Day.
Well, you had the discussion in the UK. I have new BBC newspaper articles where the topic was that blacks need to have their own schools.
Yeah, I remember reading it.
Blacks are complaining about it, but they ain't got that.
They had the same movement in...
There are a few.
They had the same movement in Canada, in Toronto, in Detroit.
Because of the funding.
In Detroit, they had a Native American school, Medicine Bear. Mayor Cuomo of New York put into effect a program where Italians could have their own culture-themed school back during the time that he was elected. And, of course, around the country in different cities, blacks have had African-centered curriculum for a long time.
That's right.
But what the devil's done out here in the U.K., though, what the devil's done out here in the U.K. is if you don't live in that borough, if you don't live in that area, it's harder for your child to get to go to that school. Because
well, that's
the devil's permitting that you go to school in the area that you are.
That's the same here, so that's not too much anything that's different. I mean, it's the same here, and that's part of the problem.
Yeah, but
listen, so they're taking kids out of the neighborhood and shipping them all the way to the other side of town, or sometimes out of the dang on city, you know, to other schools when they have schools right there that they can be educated. And the other top thing about this thing is we don't have the teachers, you know, we don't have the teachers, as in African-American teachers, to actually fill these schools also, which creates a bigger problem because, you know, it's hard for a student to get anything cultural if they don't have the teachers that can teach them the cultural stuff. We know that, you know, the books say one thing, but to have a person of color standing in front of you to help relate that is a little bit better. But hold that thought for a minute while I bring in Mr. Lowe, because I know he's been waiting patiently. All right, shalom, Mr. Lowe. How you doing today, sir?
Shalom. I'm well. How are you, men and women?
Shalom.
All right. We ain't got no women on here, but go ahead.
Well, I mean, that you have female callers listening, I'm sure.
Okay. All right. So
you got
one. We give you a half a plus.
Okay. What culture are you actually referring? What culture are you guys actually referring to? Because we have been assimilated here, so we don't have any quote-unquote culture here.
Here comes the division. Oh, boy.
Wait a minute. I mean, what do you mean?
We don't even need to hear about culture. I think it's mainly black folks. We need to see role models. Now, when I grew up, I didn't know that the black man made the fountain pen. I didn't know that the black man made the aeroplane or the motor vehicle. I didn't know that the black man made the missile. You see what I'm saying? There was things I didn't know. Black man was the first one, the god of medicine.
The black man made the car, the missile, and what else?
We made airplanes. We made the helicopter.
We
made tanks. We made all them things.
All right. Well, that's something I surely didn't know about.
Well, Joe, you wouldn't know about it because
you bought the patent. It's only the white, the devil bought the patent.
Hey, I mean, damn, they wasn't going to allow us to receive patents on these things. I mean, you don't even have to go back that far. Even in the 50s, a lot of those songs that came out that some of your so-called Caucasian artists received credit for, they didn't make those songs.
They covered
right.
a lot of Muddy Waters and Chuck Berry, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Right, right. So
yeah.
the same thing stands strong when you're talking about patents and things.
You're going to have to prove to me that the black man invented the helicopter, the airplane, the car, and what else, Supreme?
Well,
you
who
think
said that?
But Joe,
question.
He's making a good point. Do you think it's
question.
Inconceivable if you don't have any standing in court? And you don't have any standing through the system that you can't get cheated out of what you created and what you discovered and what you invented?
I don't know if that's – I don't know if anybody, if a black person goes to the patent office, that they can't get a patent because they're black.
Well, we're not talking about today, Joe. We're talking about the day of yesteryear. We're not talking
about the helicopter was not back in yesteryear. The helicopter, the airplane, the TV, and the car, that was done in the 1920s.
Mm-hmm.
Black people made the VCR and the DVD player too.
Oh, that too? They invented it?
Absolutely.
My thing is this: why would it be so hard for you to accept something like that?
Well, because
oh,
I haven't heard
about
it.
You gotta bring me back the facts.
Why is it so hard for you to conceive that to be true?
Well, because for one thing, I've had discussions about this before, and I've done the research, and I've looked up inventions by black people, and I haven't seen that amongst the list there.
Mm-hmm. Joe, what Pirate is talking about is the propulsion system for missile launch on the Polaris missiles that come out of the submarines. There was a black scientist, a female, by the way, that came up with that inner workings.
Were they part of the team, or did they?
Now she got to be a part of a team. It couldn't be her idea, huh? How about that?
Well,
I mean,
want to find out.
What's the movie that
it
came out?
It doesn't matter
recently.
What the show is, Lo, because you always come in to always break it up into something else.
I didn't bring it up into anything else, man. As a matter of fact, the Matrix, a black woman had to go and fight like hell to get her money. Because she's the one that actually wrote the book on that thing, but was she going to receive the credit? Hell no. This stuff ain't new. All this stuff going on today, man. So how can we say that it would be feasible to get a society where everybody's ideas and thoughts are brought into a school system to make this child that looks nothing like the teacher say, okay, well, all right, really a person that looks like me did that? Wow.
I hear what you're saying, though. It can't be done. So that's why it's better that the devil just let us segregate. You see what I'm saying, Lo? He can't do it. But if he's going to group us all together, it's only right for the devil to do that.
Well, I'll look it up.
I mean, I'll even go this far. When you look back and say, hey, I know there's nowhere in the world people actually bought blankets, put smallpox in them, and gave them to anybody. They don't talk about those things at school because they're not popular. Oh, they talk about Lincoln and, oh, he freed us. Lincoln said, I can't think of anything worse than bringing those people into our society. But they don't talk about that.
Again, here's the division. Whitey, Blackie, one more time.
Hey, well, I came in on this conversation. If you don't like it, that's tough.
Well, you sure did come in on a conversation, Lo, and the next topic will be about religion and how you're the only one with the true Bible and everybody else is left out of the religious orbit because the Bible's only meant for a few and all that kind of good.
Hold on. We ain't even going that route.
He'll be there in a minute.
I think that's like a perfect segue since we've been talking about schools. Has anyone ever just Googled up start a school before? And I'm only asking that because there's some interesting resources out there for starting a school, not just in the library, but just that you can access with something like a Google, things like
even WikiHow.com has some interesting stuff just about the process, not so much the curriculum and those wonderful things you guys were talking about just a moment ago, but just the startup process. And I think that would be cool, though, to actually start, put together an actual school. I think you guys are, the discussion, you guys are on to something good. And I'm curious what would that look like, though, because you guys have made some great suggestions about improving our curriculum and our education system.
No, it wouldn't work for me. I can't stand kids.
Well, first step. Well,
really?
You're a grumpy old man anyway. First step would be you would have to get your more quote unquote affluent people, like your Michael Jordans and Oprah Winfrey's, and they would have to help this thing along. Let's be honest. A stupid rapper isn't going to make a song about getting education. But these people that have money and that are deemed to be successful in this society, that look like me, they could help a child along the way. I mean, let's be honest. Bill Gates, nobody that looks like me is going to listen to Bill Gates unless they only want to come into Bill Gates' society and make it better for themselves. That's the way I see it. But if they're looking at their own community and say, hey, you know what, our community is jacked up, and I'm going to live in my community, I'm going to do whatever I can to help, then that person is more than willing to go to that extra mile. That's what I think.
Yeah, it's easy to start up a school. Marva Collins did it with one room. And look what she did. Anybody here know or remember Marva Collins?
Yeah, that's a good point.
I know
point.
About Marva Collins School. My friend's son went to Marva Collins School when he was 5 and 6 and 7 years old in Cincinnati.
Yeah, but see, I think it was less red tape then, too, than it is now. You know, because you can start homeschooling and do the same thing, but it's so much red tape, and it's still controlled by, you know, the state or the school district as to what they want you to teach. So,
the curriculum, you're absolutely right.
Well,
that little boy was 6 years old and could come home and count to 10 in like 8 different languages. I had to learn how to count 10 in Arabic just to keep up with them. I forget Japanese and French.
Well, Marva Collins did a good thing.
Yeah, I don't know
Marva
if that's
Collins school was in Chicago.
I know,
yeah,
but there was one in Cincinnati in 1994. It may not be in existence anymore.
Is not in existence neither.
Oh, that's right.
So I was just pulling up some information. In 1837, apparently the Institute for Colored Youth was founded by Richard Humphreys, which later became Shawnee University, something like that. That was one of the first schools, I guess, founded by a black institution.
Yeah, well, let's not forget Mary McLeod Bethune either, how she started her school, you know, and it turned out to be Bethune-Cookman College. So, I mean, it's not the precedence is there, you know, but it just takes some togetherness, I guess you would say, unity, to make this thing happen, because I don't think one individual can make it really go the way it needs to go without some help.
I'm going to agree and disagree with you on that. I you're right about the red tape. I don't know how much red tape a person would have to go through to have a one-room, quote-unquote, schoolhouse. But the unity thing, forget it. Nobody's going to get unified.
Wow. Nobody's going
to
get unified.
Yeah, you don't have to invent no schools. You got working models that's going on as we speak.
But here's the
Council of Independent Black Institutions has been around since the 1970s.
Okay.
Excellent.
But where are they, Yankee? I mean, you mentioned them, but where are they? How come they're not
CB,
there?
You can go on their website and they list what schools are left. My favorite flagship school is Marcus Garvey in South Central LA on Slauson Avenue, 6th and... on 6th Street, I think it is. 6th and Slauson.
Hey, who's driving? Somebody's driving.
What city are you in, Eric?
I'm in Texas. Why?
I don't know of any in Texas.
Yeah, huh?
Dallas, I think.
I got a cousin. He went to a Ebony Learning Tree that's on Slauson, probably within a mile of the Marcus Garvey School. Mm. Ebony Learning Tree right there on Slauson, but.
Well, what kind of schools are?
They're just small. Well, I don't know about the Marcus Garvey School, but the Ebony Learning Tree is just a small, it's a small, few-room school mm-hmm. where the kids get a lot of attention, where they, you know, it's not 20, 30 people in a room.
Marcus Garvey had a preschool, the elementary school. They built their own high school, sit right there on the corner.
Well,
and,
I mean,
and the thing about it though, nowadays they wouldn't even teach these children who Marcus Garvey was in a public school.
You got the black boarding school, Piney Woods in Mississippi, and I think it's two others out on the East Coast that's left. Used to be a lot of them.
Well, wait a minute, isn't that what the blank blah 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 blah. Isn't that what the Black Panthers were doing back in the day, educating the kids, and they went in and ruined that, I mean, destroyed that from within?
Hoover, absolutely.
The best advice I could give, the best advice I could give to a young black boy or girl is if he wants to get the service they want to get in the system, in this full educational system, right, is to act like a white man. You get as far as
how does white men act,
that attitude can take you far, bro.
Go back to the original question. How do you act like a white man?
Come on.
I mean, that's not.
You have different types of white men.
You ain't gonna get far talking like you're from the hood.
Yeah, I think that makes about as much sense as talking white. That term,
right.
That old phrase, it makes.
They got
no
one in San Antonio, Eric. They got one on Home Green Road in San Antonio, a CB school.
Oh, okay. Well, all right. You know, and that's crazy, man. That's crazy.
A lot of this education can be done at home. You know,
right?
Kids that come up ignorant and racist, because that's all racism is ignorance. Your ignorance of other people and their culture, and. You don't acknowledge their humanity, or you acknowledge it as lesser than, higher than yours.
I ain't ignorant.
What culture do we have, Beasley? What culture do we have? To hell with everybody else. The Chinese man can go back and say, yeah, they do this and that in the third in China.
Black people have a rich culture.
What
a
culture
very rich
do
culture
we have
in this country
here?
That includes
our culture.
All right, I'm going to explain.
Goes back to servitude. That's where our culture in this country goes back to servitude.
Well, there's been a period as blacks have come out of servitude, and it's really a success story.
Really?
You look at all the obstacles. Absolutely. It's amazing that there are any black people left what black people had to go through in this country. I'll agree with you there. But we have rich culture, and our culture is based in a number of things. From food to music to dancing to an oral history and stories. Now, everyone's family is going to be different, but there's a lot of things that we share as black people, as a history, the subjugation that we've been through. Food, music, oral history.
Everything
that's how a lot of people, that's how a lot of people learned about their family members.
Everything you just mentioned started here.
Right. We have a very rich history right here in this country. that we've established, black people.
Yeah.
You can't ignore that. It's a story of resiliency. It's amazing that, like I said again, it's amazing that there's any black people left after what black people have been through in this country. And if you can't take any pride in that, that's sad.
I don't have any pride in anything in this country that we've done, man. That's just the way it is. And it shouldn't be sad. I mean, that's the way I see it.
It's
sad.
Come down and look on it.
It's sad if we can't look back through history and see a lot of the black people that triumphed.
Come downtown, look at the downtown skyline, look at the buildings that black men put up. Come on, Lowell, where you at?
If you can't take pride in a Benjamin Banneker or a Robert Smalls or a Frederick Douglass.
I was about to say Frederick Douglass, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Or a Frederick Douglass or a Ralph Bunch.
Frederick Douglass.
Or Matthew Henson.
Frederick Douglass, to me, I'm actually impressed by the link. Has anyone checked out the link that Bianchi has in the room? All right.
It's actually pretty interesting.
Everybody can talk at one time, all right?
Frederick Douglass, to me, is just like Maya Angelou. They talk all that black national, oh, yes, black power to the people, power to the people, and they go home to a white person.
So you didn't love your people. Don't minimize the larger point. If you can't take pride in the story of a Matthew Henson who went with Robert Peary and
one person at a time,
were the first people on the North Pole. These are part of our story, of our history, of our culture, mm-hmm. of people that have overcome.
And everybody knows about Ralph Bunch.
Look at Paul Robeson. He was an amazing man.
Mm-hmm.
He graduated top of his class at Yale. He was a singer, an actor, and a football player, an All-American football player.
And people know about Dubois, too. Yeah.
Look at Jack Johnson. Look at, well, there's Dubois. Benjamin Banneker designed
Dubois. You said Dubois.
Yeah.
Yeah, he had a French name. He had different. He had lots of different people and he had lots of different ethnicities in his background.
Dubois was against Marcus Garvey.
So
against the NAACP too.
He was against the NAACP also, which I can't fault him for that one because that wasn't actually started by our.
Hold on a second. There's no real litmus test as far as what someone's opinions or ideologies are that mm-hmm. determines how black they are. Now, of course, there's some extremes like Clarence Thomas and some of the other bootlickers that are out there. But Dubois just had a different opinion and a different way of approaching things than Marcus Garvey.
Uh-huh.
Marcus Garvey wanted to take people back to Africa, raise money back. I think he even had a ship.
Yeah, but Dubois was working
for the Black Star Line. All I'm going to say is J. Edgar Hoover, thanks to him, he made sure that didn't do well either. I mean, at every turn, there was, you know, people against us.
Absolutely, and that's what makes the story. And that's what makes the story so beautiful, of a people that have persevered, and have gone through all of this and survived. And it's really sad and shameful that you can't take any pride in that.
It's sad and shameful that you
discount the whole story and the whole history.
Perhaps you should pick up some books and read about some of these people that I mentioned.
And perhaps you get some inspiration.
Wait. I read more than you think, and that's why I'm expounding on what happened with J. Edgar Hoover and the Black Star Line and different things. I mean, hey, you
I'm killing you, Law. You know I'm killing you right now.
And my thing,
go
my
ahead.
Thing
I'm gonna let
this.
You talk, but you know I'm
my
killing
thing,
you right now.
My thing is this:
I'm killing
the
you.
Only people.
I can't believe it. I'm patting myself on the back. Go ahead.
The only people we can look up to nowadays in quote-unquote our society, and if you go back farther, entertainers have been our quote-unquote leaders. What the hell can a comedian tell me or whatever in our society or whatever
a comedian or a tap dancer or something.
Dick Gregory
and they got
was
the same
a comedian
people
activist.
Now. Right. They have the same people right now. You have common men in common societies that have way better ideas than anything Dick Gregory came up with, but he won't get that spotlight because nobody's going to listen to him. But being that Dick Gregory was somebody that the white people could use, and he made some money, and he could open his mouth, and they wouldn't didn't do anything to him.
Well,
they, oh, yeah, he's one of our top guys. Whatever, man.
Do you know who Dr. Charles Drew is?
Yeah, he was the person who invented blood plasma.
Wow.
Lo, did you know that?
No, he doesn't think there's any history or any culture for black people.
Well, you know,
here.
I don't find nothing wrong with African Americans taking advantage of their dominance in professional sports and entertainment. They're both fields that offer wealth to be had. They need to maintain that dominance as long as they possibly can, and at the same time, others should seek to make inroads in the other fields, other categories. Heck, look at Eric, Mr. Talk. Only person I know has killed as many people he is, and he still ain't in jail.
Yeah, are you saying Eric because he was coming?
I knew it was coming. I knew it was coming. But you know, not just athletes and entertainers. Don't ignore Louis Latimer, who was one of the most a black inventor that helped Edison with the light bulb.
Yeah, I remember reading about him. And what about forgot the guy that's in the history books, that's in school. Peanuts. I forgot the guy's name.
Carver.
Booker.
George Washington Carver.
Booker
T. Washington.
Booker T. Washington, right?
Hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so if you don't know, Adam Clayton Powell was a great man as well.
He was a suck ass.
That's just a matter of opinion.
I read about him, and he was a sellout.
Let's not forget Thurgood Marshall. I mean, how can you have a discussion about him?
I mean, so if you're unaware of the people that have come before and realize the great things that they accomplished in an adverse society, and if you're just unaware, then maybe you won't have any pride in the cultural achievements and the achievements of blacks here in America, and say that we don't have any history. I think that's just someone speaking from ignorance, Lo.
And the people that you've mentioned, Beasley, white people know about them, the more prominent ones anyway. And the same thing with you, Eric, when you mentioned Thurgood Marshall, Ralph Bunche. That's in history, Booker T. Washington. Booker Washington. I forget the Peanut Man.
George Washington Carver.
George Washington
Carver. Hailed from Missouri.
Are you sure it's George Washington Carver? Because George Washington Carver sounds like a novel. I think
yes,
positive.
Joe.
Okay.
We're sure about that, Joe.
All right. I thought, you know, sounds like a novel.
Did you know that there's no white people in America with the last name Washington? Do any of you know why that is?
None.
You go ahead and find me one. I want all of you to think we've got about 200 years of life experience on the line right now, and tell me if you've heard of a white person whose last name or knew a white person name was Washington.
Yeah, I was always taught that if you're somewhere in a town you don't know and you get access to a phone book, look up a Washington, and you found a black person.
Really? You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to look
after
that.
After you may find one, but there aren't any. After the slaves were freed, many chose the last name Washington, and many chose the last name Jackson because they wanted to be accepted and they wanted to assimilate into America, so they figured a good name for them would be named after one of the presidents.
I'll bet you tomorrow I'll find a Washington.
Right. All right. I mean, there's an exception just about to every rule, but no one else can think of one.
Calm you. Eat him right down, man. He's going to jump on every turn. I'll find one. Hell, of course you will.
Well,
oh, come on, Lo.
Mm-hmm.
Poor Lo.
Well,
poor, no, not poor, not poor, not poor me, poor you.
Why poor me?
I know. I know your fate, Joe. It ain't
you
looking
my,
good for you.
You know my who?
Fate. Fate.
My
it doesn't
fate?
Look good for you. Mm-hmm.
Oh. Are you coming to visit me like you threatened before?
Hmm?
Okay. Okay. Hold on, hold on, hold on. Before y'all get the kissing and hugging and all that good stuff, let's continue to talk. Check this out. You know, and I'm glad Laura's on the phone so we can ask Laura this question. You know, being that everybody, you know, recently in this generation is finding so much religious freedom, is that kind of separating the causing more trouble than good in as far as culture and what people should be doing as unifying? Is it doing more division, separating, than unit, bringing people together?
I don't think so.
You don't think so?
Doing what it's supposed to do.
You know, I'm going to tell you, we had it here in St. Louis, which occurs usually on Memorial Day weekend, the African Festival. It's been going on for at least 3 decades.
I won't be
and the people that go to attend that, you won't find them attending, say, a hip-hop, what do they call that when they put those shows on? A hip-hop show, you know what I'm talking about. That's because all black folks are, yeah, concerts. That's because all black folks are not the same.
I agree with that 1,000%. That's Deuteronomy 7 and 6.
Hmm.
We are not the same. And we're not supposed to be that. Shoot, Exodus 11 and 7. Egyptians and Israelites are not the same. So you're absolutely right, Bianca. And so, no, religion is not a problem. People need to have their own, quote-unquote, religions, and they need to enjoy them. Like I said before, the Bible never spoke about anybody's, quote-unquote, religion.
As long as we're not taking up the religion.
What?
You see, all their ideologies in their books. I said, I agree with you, brother, but as long as we're not taking up the religions of our oppressors, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah, you pick one, Catholicism, Baptist. I grew up Baptist like everybody else, and hey, I went to church and I played church. And matter of fact, I was the Sunday school superintendent at, 16, 17, and I had a girlfriend. I would take the communion and leave church, and I'd go have sex, you know, after all that, you know. And this is the quote-unquote way of life for quote-unquote Christians, because they do whatever the hell they want to and nothing that the Bible says. They live according to the people that were before them. Whatever
okay,
the Bible says, do.
Hold up, you know. And here's the thing. Hold up, you know that's generalizing now. You know, you can't put every Christian in that thing. And number one, two, you know, I don't know any religion where everybody is perfect. I mean, if there is,
wait. Let me ask you a question.
No. You wait. Because see, now you're getting a little generalized there, buddy. I mean, come on now.
Okay.
If you're not the chosen one. You're not the chosen one.
Actually, he is. He would have to accept it and repent. But the thing is,
Hold up, knucklehead. How you know I haven't repented all week? See, and once again, here we go. And I'm going to put it out there. You know what? I really don't care what your religion is, okay? I don't care.
I don't have one.
Listen, knucklehead. I don't care if you're atheist. I don't care if you're atheist, logistics, or whatever the hell you want to call yourself. The main question is, did you get the message? Do you know where you're going? All right? That's all. That's the thing.
But Brother Ray, I know you believe in Black Jesus.
But Supreme, why are you even worried about it? You know what I'm saying? Everybody got a religion, period. Okay, so
I'm not worried about what religion anyone is. I said it was a good thing, as long as we're not the religions of our oppressors.
Okay. Now, I'm going to tell you, your oppressor is your mind. That's your oppressor. See, that's what y'all feel real. I can go out here and start a religion called the Antipower right now. And if I believe in it, I believe in it. But the question is, did I get the message? You know, that's the problem. Everybody want their religion, the best religion, and this is what you got to do. You know what? Keep on going that way. The question is, did you get the message? That's the bottom line.
You know, the weird thing about it is when I started talking, you stopped listening and you immediately went to get ammo and come back with what you're saying right now. The thing is,
I'm just telling you common sense, man.
I'm going to say it again. I don't have the Bible ain't about a religion. It's about a heritage. That's what people fail to realize. So you keep throwing the word religion, Catholicism, Baptist, Methodist. Those are religions. All of those are religions.
Hold on. All right. Now, I'm not even going to argue with you about this because I already know your
point.
But here's the thing. My point is this. You know, it's a heritage. It's whatever you want to call it. The bottom line is, did you get the message, man? Or are you living right? I don't care about what religion, whatever you believe in, okay?
What is quote-unquote right? Because that word is so vague.
It's vague because you want to be. It's whatever you believe in. It's whatever you believe in.
It's as it is written. If you say,
I'm going to go with what you say. It is as written. So I just wrote down, I'm going to go and mug this man tomorrow night. It's written down. So that means that's the way I'm living, right?
It is written in the book.
Absolutely.
Uh-huh. Well, see, another thing. I've been through it a long time. Now, listen to this. You know, everybody interprets the book the way they want to see it.
That's for sure.
The Bible is not open to a private interpretation.
That's the problem.
People make a very good living at it.
Everybody does not understand the same way, Lo. That's what I'm trying to get you to understand. So instead of trying to get everybody to understand and do this, just the question is, did you get the message? That's all. It's simple. We too worried about the oppressors this and I'm the chosen this. Did you get the message, man?
And before this continues, I want to say this to Lo.
Lo, you know Hebrew.
I want to say this to Lo. As one vet to another, I want to wish you a happy, I don't know if I can call it happy, but a Memorial Day Monday.
No, thank you. I don't want that.
Okay, because as vets, we should recognize, especially you, because you fought in battle, just like Eric fought in battle, and you were shot at, and you fought back at the enemy. And you were lucky enough to have survived and come back home. So I want to give you, you know, the props that you deserve, just like I gave Eric the props that he deserved. I was a vet, but I was lucky enough not to have to go and fight. So as somebody who was appreciative of having my life saved by not having to go to the front because of people like you and Eric, I gave Eric my wishes yesterday. I want to give you my wishes today as a surviving vet.
Well, you should, because they were fighting against your enemy, not their enemy, our enemy. They were fighting for you, your liberation.
Your enemy with regards to the government is my enemy, because I don't believe that the government is there to help any of us. So the wars that were started were not for liberty.
Well, you got to understand, though, is that if the system falls, it's only good for black men. Because we're not getting no equality, equal rights and justice out here. Bottom line, wherever the white and the black dynamic exists, the white man's at the top and the black man's at the bottom. That's just a sad fact.
Would you rather be wealthy and black or be poor and white in society? It could be in England or the United States. Would you rather be wealthy and black, or would you rather be poor and white?
That's a good question.
That's the heck of a question.
Well, I'd rather, as long as I keep my skin, so obviously I just want to be a black man. you know, wealthy and black.
That's not what I'm asking you. I'm trying to understand you. Would you rather be wealthy and black, or would you rather be poor and white?
I'd rather be a wealthy black man.
Okay, then.
Than be a poor white man.
All
right. I love who I am, though, Beasley. Even if
right.
it was a trick.
I know,
being
I'm not trying to I'm not questioning that you don't. You make it real clear. You
I'll
make it real clear where
Negro.
Your preferences are. I just thought I'd ask you that question.
I'm just saying, though, brother, I would rather be a homeless Negro than a rich white man.
That was going to be my next question.
I would.
Of course you wouldn't.
What, you would rather be a homeless person?
Jeez, it's like
a
homeless
person.
I'd rather be a homeless so-called black man than a rich white. You're damn right I would.
All right.
I wonder what Mr. Solution would have. I wonder what Mr. Solution would have to say about that.
Hey, he's already a white man. What would he have to say?
Well, let's say you were right, Laura. He did try. You know what? Did you hear the clip that Michael had played about Solution? He got called the N-word bunch of times on Debbie Daly's show, and then on the same show, he got criticized by Debbie, and Debbie says to him, "I'm not continuing my show until you apologize, Mr. Solution, for saying I'm a liar and for allowing the person to call you the N-word," and he apologized.
I believe that.
He sold himself out for 25 cents to a freaking internet woman.
Hey, man. I said it a week or so ago when I was on this show. I didn't forget when you was on that other show talking all of us down. I never forgot about all of that, man. So but now that white people ran you off, you're supposed to come back and we just going to embrace you. To hell with you. I say the exact same thing as for all you Michael Jackson fans. To hell with Michael Jackson. I have a beautiful daughter that looks exactly the same way I do. Michael hated me and my child and everybody that looked like me to the point where he went and got two Caucasians, had them to make kids, and say, hey, these are my kids right here with their blonde hair and their blue eyes. Hell with him.
He's been dead 5 years. He's been dead 5 years, not bothering nobody. And you guys are going to go ahead and kick on the pee on the man's grave.
If I knew where they buried him, I'd defecate on his grave.
Not that your account about him and what he did is wrong. I mean, you probably nailed it right exactly what he did, but.
Black Beasley. The problem
gentlemen.
Is, it seems that he respects the white man more than his own race.
He had a lot of issues about his appearance. That's obvious. I read a book about him. He had a lot of issues about his appearance.
Look, hold on. You know, everybody knocking that man. I'm going to tell you, if you listen to some of his music, he wasn't as out there as y'all think he was. He told a lot of truth in his music. Y'all just didn't realize it. But let me bring 847 in. 847, welcome to the show. Who do I have here?
Hey, this is Chef Rob. How you doing?
What's going on, Rob? What's happening, man?
Hey, Rob.
How we doing, fellas? Hi, Rob.
What's up, Rob?
Hey, yeah, let me back up here. You know, tell you some stuff about Michael Jackson. If you really do some little bit of history, research, some of his old speeches and some of his interviews, Michael Jackson was kind of a radical, contrary to that crazy-ass appearance.
Exactly. Okay? That's what I'm saying. Exactly.
It wasn't always in his music he told the truth. It was sometimes when he gave interviews, interviews that they did never want to go ahead and put out. I was trying to play one on my show, but it was like, it's kind of distorted because the person who had the mic was like in the crowd, but you can still understand what Michael Jackson was saying, and he was telling people what's going on. He sounded like one of these conscious individuals that be standing on a street corner.
No,
so
I have no problem
with that.
Oh, wait,
don't get it twisted. Let me finish, okay? He sounded like one of these conscious dudes, okay, what he knew. But the brother who said, I can't remember who said, what Michael Jackson did was to went out and got white people. I honestly feel that them are not his kids at all. Because they ain't his kid. They don't have no features. They don't have no African features in them whatsoever. I mean, Bro. Michael Jackson. Hold on. Michael Jackson, he got the surgeries to change his nose and whatever happened to his pigment, but he still, he got a lot of plastic surgery changes, and his kids have European features, and they were born that way. They got nothing to go ahead and say that they got African features in them at all.
Well, biologically, they may not be his kids.
Those are not. He got a man with blonde hair and blue eyes. And a Caucasian woman with blonde hair and blue eyes, and had them to do their thing, and those are the children that he's claiming. He had nothing to do. None of his.
I'm not arguing that, but there's
right.
more to people claiming children and being part of children. He raised those children from birth. He was the
okay.
parent that they, he
we
was the parent
that.
They knew. So
that,
he's
baby.
Biologically not their
that's
father.
Not the, That's not what I'm saying. Let me tell you
why I say that. Not so much in defense of Michael Jackson, because I'm not saying anything that you're saying is wrong, okay? Because I have a friend who gave birth to a child and who adopted a child from birth. She watched him be born, and she says that there's absolutely no difference in how in the love and the, and how she feels about those children. That it doesn't make a difference that one of them she adopted from birth and the other one that she had out of her body.
No one said it did, Beasley. The thing
no,
is,
no,
that,
but
let me right. just listen, man. Listen for one second. Like I said,
I hear you. I hear what you're saying. That these are not biological kids.
Can I please? If you had a son or daughter of your own, maybe you'd understand. What this man basically said was, your children that look like he don't want them. They're not good enough to be considered his children. So he went out and got Susie and got Becky and Ricky to go and make some kids, and those are his children. He went and paid people to do this, and these are my kids right here. You know, forget about the little nappy head ones. I wouldn't want those for nothing. That was his train of thought. I mean, don't you think that we have some handsome brothers and beautiful sisters of stature? That he could have did the exact same thing and came back and said, hey, these are my kids right here. But he
well,
hates you, me, and everybody.
He had all,
everybody
he had
else,
all kinds what, of hang-ups about race and how he looked.
Mm-hmm. Okay, well.
He had all kinds
that,
of, he had all kinds
and
of hang-ups.
Okay, so it reflected in the kids he adopted, too.
And right,
so that he didn't love black folks, and so he didn't love black folks as much as you think. But he did
absolutely.
Say some crazy stuff. He did say some
you
stuff.
Know,
I won't say crazy. He said some stuff in his interviews, and he also put some stuff in his music. So it's a whole lot confusing. But the thing that really bugs me most is that he got them kids parading around as if it's his own. That's where I
absolutely.
Got a problem with. Absolutely. I mean, you can come outside and get on your soapbox and talk radical all day long. But when you go home, and you get inside of your home, and the people that you're looking at inside of your house, that's who you really are. That's you. You get out
right.
of your soapbox and carry on all
so
day long.
So it's more important. So,
hold on.
So,
hold on.
So,
that's
it's
right.
more, so it's more important how these kids, how their skin color is and their biological heritage. That's more important than whatever good qualities or something that's
for
important
us,
or good.
Of
course,
let me finish.
I'm going to fire you black racists up, you black bigots, all of you.
Ain't no such
so,
thing as
what,
a black
yeah, well, hold on
no,
a second. I'm just doing rock in the crowd. Don't start
don't
hollering.
Be a handkerchief head.
Let me say this. Not a handkerchief head. Basically what you're saying, that these kids, that their skin color, okay, and their biological heritage, as far as ethnicity, is more important than anything that's in their character. It's more important
than
them being kind, intelligent, or thoughtful
people.
That's more important. And you know what? And that's what makes, and that's what constitutes a bigot. When you can ignore the content of someone's character and be absorbed
in
what their ethnicity is. Martin Luther King, take a look at yourself.
All right, hold on. Y'all getting a little heated here. Let me bring Antoinette in. Maybe she can bring some peace. But wait a minute, Supreme. Antoinette, welcome to the show. What's going on, darling?
Hello, Mr. Talk.
Hello.
And Supreme.
Hello, Antoinette.
And Chef Rob.
Hello.
Hello, how are you?
All right, you?
I'm well, thank you. Chef Rob, I know you know a lot about Michael Jackson because I know we discussed it years ago.
Yes.
But, you know, Michael Jackson, where I see where Michael Jackson's downfall really came was when he made Thriller and he was a Jehovah's Witness. And at that time, he had got put on public reproof and, you know, in the Kingdom Hall.
Right.
And ever since then, he just went down. And I think then he started dabbling in other things. But when he made Thriller, he had problems at the Kingdom Hall.
Let me tell you one even better than that. It came way before Thriller. Because you think about all the Christmas songs he did for him and
yeah.
the Jackson 5. Okay, so they was having problems back then. What religion he should believe in and what his issue is going to be. But when he did the Thriller thing, he was going ahead and hanging out with some people from the Nation of Islam. Okay?
Yeah.
So he was going ahead and questioning a whole lot of stuff, and he was trying to pick where he wanted to go. So,
yeah.
But he still was surrounded by he still had some heavy security to surround him, to protect him from anybody else coming in. But certain people got into that circle. A few people started getting to that circle. And these are the people to go ahead and help with his downfall. Who told him
yes,
that you advised
that,
him that he needed
also.
To have those drugs?
Did you call Tommy Mottola a devil?
I'm just saying that when I noticed his real fall, you know, when he really just went down, mm-hmm. was when, you know, because I used to be a Jehovah's Witness. So I remember when this happened,
mm-hmm.
you know, distinctly when it was announced in the hall and everything, that he was put on public reproof.
Mm-hmm.
And then I think he just never went back. And, you know, I don't know when his interaction with the Muslims and everything actually came about, and that may have been a part of it also. But I know that. Go ahead,
I think Michael Jackson's issues. Go ahead.
But the thing is that he was still, no matter what group he was with, there were still a lot of blacks in charge. When he started speaking out about the Jews running the industry, that's when he began to have real problems. Regardless who he was hanging out, when he started to go ahead and tell the truth on who's running the industry, how they're doing it, and they all even trying to enslave him, if you pay attention to that concert he was supposed to do before he died, the top people were Jews. Some of the people he had been doing business with for years. So there's more to it than what we see.
Well,
but
not
I
only
think that group
went,
of people had a lot to do with it.
He was defiant against Sony. But before I forget, I want to wish you a happy Memorial Day, Chef, because I remember you got shut up, right?
I had some flashed in my face, and I wound up falling off almost a four-story building.
Yeah, I mean, was that done in battle or was that done behind the lines?
That was we were setting up something.
Well,
so,
in any case, you still have a service-related disability, and you're still a vet, so I want to give you the props also. Happy Memorial Day.
You need to give him some money as well, like I told you, because the devil never even gave him a share of the spoils. He never even got a share of the spoils of war. Got any of the spoils of war.
All right, hold on. Let me bring Michael in, because I
don't... Oh, God.
All right, Michael
Jackson.
Michael, welcome to the show, man. What's up?
Hey, what's going on?
Hey, Michael.
You got the mic, man. You got the mic. What's up?
Go on.
Are you sure? Are you sure? Why did they cut me off? Well, first of all, Michael Jackson, you know, wonderful performer. I listen to him when he tells the world about his downfall.
Hold it. Hold it. Go ahead, man. I'm just tripping. Go ahead.
He dropped already. See what?
Oh man, wait! Come on, man.
I was waiting for him to get started. I was going to come right behind with the no. Wait, listen to me.
You're cutting me off, Mr. Eric.
Hold on.
Come on back.
Y'all,
I'm gone. I'll be quiet.
Y'all leave Mike alone. Hold on. He back. See, he's back. There y'all go. I'll leave Mike alone. Mike, that's
you. You know what? You know what? I tell him, you know what? Y'all tripped me out. You know what? I'm driving, right? I'm driving in the Benz right now. No, look, look, I'm going to tell you how to tell this truth. When he cut me off, hold up, listen. When Chevron cut me off, I'm driving in my Benz. And so I hung up the phone because I don't want to hear rap. He got me ticked off, right? And I see this beautiful woman, and she said something to me. So I just rolled down my window. She said, don't let me make you mad. Don't let me make you mad.
What you doing talking to me? You going to let that woman go back up? I was,
no,
you know,
it was in the real life. No, see, when you cut me off, I must have made this look on my face and I hung up the phone. And then she said, don't let him make you mad.
Oh,
y'all
boy.
Trip.
It's fun messing with it. Just like we was in the bed. You go ahead, you find somebody, throw the knock on. You go ahead, you give
me
the
name. Wait. Can we get back to what we were talking about?
Okay, I apologize.
Oh, sorry.
But no, but for real, guys, Michael Jackson, you know, he said his downfall is when he was taking pain medication, his painkillers, when he got addicted. Michael Jackson is just like any old dope fiend in the hood. He's no different. No matter how much money you have, we all have our ups and downs in our lives. We're all human beings. And, you know, to me, this me personally, and I followed Michael Jackson, and I was dancing like him when I was little. When he became black on black, black Muslims, I only seen that when he got in trouble. When he started, when the quote-unquote white man was trying to get him for touching these white boys, that's when he started taking black on black and talking about the industry and rock and roll, if you notice. But before that, I didn't hear him speak out on code black on black, use black and black power. I didn't hear that. You know what I mean? That's just me. But I'm going to say, but Michael Jackson is a real good performer. And I just want to say, they say he has a natural, a biological son. That's what they're saying. The rumors are, and the family has been financially taking care of this son. He just came out with a song. And the family is not denying the son. Now, I don't know how true that is.
It's a bunch of, man.
You know, you guys are talking about a timeline when Michael Jackson's made a change and his problem started. Michael Jackson's problem started when he was a child star. He was abused. He had a real hardcore father. He was abused by him who offered him up to Hollywood. And they molested and abused him. And that's part of the reason why he was so weird and dysfunctional.
No, Michael Jackson never said he was molested. He said he was beaten.
Right. He didn't say it because it's evident in his actions.
If you would listen to the stories of Corey Feldman and Corey Hines, let me finish.
Why are you raising your voice? Let me finish what I'm saying. I can make a real good point.
He said he got touched.
Breathe, Michael. Yeah. Please breathe.
Breathe, soldier.
Yeah, he's on again. He hung up again. All right, go ahead.
Let me finish what I'm saying. There's a very well-documented history of children being sexually abused and abused and molested in the entertainment industry. It's gone on. And that's part of why you saw the things that happened with Michael Jackson in his later life, because he couldn't come to terms with that. And they say many people that molest children, and I believe that he did have inappropriate sexual relationships with teenage boys. I believe that. There's just too much smoke there. But usually a molester was molested himself. Someone said it's the gift that keeps on giving. And it also would explain his hardcore drug abuse. These are all symptoms of somebody that was molested and sexually abused as a child.
You know what? You make a very good point.
I don't think he was sexually abused as a child.
If they would just let me make a point, I can make one. Go ahead.
Yeah, that was
I don't
a very
believe
good.
That he was sexually abused as a child.
Why not, Scream?
I think he just couldn't take and tolerate the names, the nickname called, whatever called it, that was fact and true.
What?
And, you know, I think he just got caught up in the devil's world of riches and faith.
Believe it or not, but look, poverty. What, you know what? what Beasley said, you know, there's a lot of truth to that. There's a lot of these, none of these people that come out that's got these problems today, they, this is Hollywood, okay, Hollywood weird, and they were, a lot of them were abused, child stars, a lot of them were abused. That's why a lot of them, and drugs is prevalent, okay, you can go to a little party, you can be 15 years old, and they got drugs for you, got alcohol for you, okay, mm-hmm. And you can go ahead and wind up having sex with almost anybody, because I've seen it.
Whether or not he was sexually abused, we don't know. But we do know out of his own mouth that his father absolutely emotionally abused him and the rest of his family the way because of his ambition to try to make the Jackson 5 a top one hit. And he's also – and his mother, I think, admitted that his father was that kind of taskmaster to the point where he emotionally abused all the kids.
You know what,
and the other brother,
I agree with that, and, you know, I always say, there's a reason why him and Dinah Ross was so close. Nobody paid me any attention, though. You know, I do believe that he was molested some kind of way, because somebody had to break him in, you know.
Go ahead. The brother that went solo, what's his name?
Jermaine.
Ice Cube. Shut up. Jermaine was the one who went solo because he got tired of a lot of that stuff. He was the one taking. He was him and one of the sisters were taking the brunt of the abuse.
Yeah.
And Jermaine said, "I can't do this. I don't want to be a part of none of this no more." And he wanted to get away from that because it was too controlling. It was too controlling with Motown. It was too controlling with all of them people that was in that circle.
Well, he also married Berry Gordy's daughter.
But
there was a story behind that, too.
They were sneaking around a lot.
That's back in the day
when Jermaine Jackson was like, he was like a sex symbol with women. Look at him now. Now he's a laughing stock. They say he looks like the Indian on a totem pole.
Man, his face, you got to see it, man. His hair is painted on black, and his skin, man, I don't think that's in the crayon box either.
I remember his wedding picture. He was young. He was like 19 or 20, but he got his hair. He got a perm.
Well, y'all cruel. Yeah, that's right. Y'all cruel,
man.
He married her
because he got her pregnant, didn't he?
Yeah, I think so. That's what I say.
Anna Jackson was dating Sonny Mottola's son or something like that.
She had her legs open to a whole bunch of people.
One of her songs.
Oh man, she's talking about having sex with a woman, and I don't think nobody really paid attention to that.
Jermaine Jackson was the lead singer before Michael came on the scene.
I thought it was their cousin.
No,
had a cousin playing with them too.
They may have. I don't know.
A cousin?
No, I don't remember no cousin.
Oh my! I don't remember that.
They had a cousin early on that was playing in the band, too.
You're talking about the Five Heartbeats.
No. I ain't in front of my computer. Max is standing outside. But they had a cousin that was playing with them, too.
Have a cousin that played in the group.
And he sang
as
sometimes.
As a musician.
He sang sometimes.
Oh, okay.
Okay. All right. Well, who is cooking?
Pardon me?
Office hours are between 9 and 5.
Beasley, I can see you doing that.
I was about to say, call me Big Red.
That's okay. I'll call you no Big Red. Big nothing else.
Just don't
all right.
Call me Mr. Solution.
You know, you're so wrong for that. All right, y'all. Well, you know what? We about to get out of here. I think we done ran out of things to talk about today. So what I'm going to do is go ahead and let y'all crazy. I'm going to go ahead and let y'all get your last words in. And we're going to start. Hey, you know what? I got somebody here ain't said nothing. Let me see. Somebody just hung up, too. Oh, well. Let's see. 504, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
All right. Your final words, sir. I know we haven't engaged to speak.
I just enjoyed the show. I thought there was a lot of points there. But I think people were kind of pushing the point that everybody should be happy there. Early in the show, I was listening to we should all come together and be righteousness and all of that. I just think that that's the most foolishness, that we are different peoples, and we're going to remain to be different people, different types of people. I'm talking about races, and the races are never coming together. And, you know, that's how we've done it, the great dream, and races come together. So, but I enjoyed the show. It was a little bit like the view to me, and it was my first time. My name is Yasser.
All right. Well, thank you, Yasser, and let me give you a proper welcome to the show. All right, so you have a good one. You're welcome to come back at any time, all right? Don't be a stranger. All right, thanks, man. All right, and Miss Antoinette, she's standing in for Renee today.
Oh, I am. Okay. You give me a lot of jobs that I just don't know anything about until you name them off.
I know, right? You're versatile like that.
Well, I think it was a great show. I would like to ask you if tomorrow, if you could devote some time to Maya Angelou's work.
I think we can do that. I think we can make that
happen. Yeah, I think that that would be a, you know, a great credit and honor to the contributions that she has made, you know, in the literature world, and just with the advice that, you know, she's given that has expanded generations.
Mm-hmm. Correct. Yeah, we can talk about that and talk about some of her work and, you know, have a discussion on it, get some deepness into it. I like that.
Yes. Yes, and I, you know, because too many of our poets are, you know, they're gone and, you know, they're not getting the proper recognition that they really should get, and I would hate for her to be one that, you know, doesn't get it also.
All right. I got you. All right, ma'am. That's it?
Thank you. That's it. It was a great show.
All right. Thank you, Antoinette. You have a good one. All right, y'all.
Thank you, you too.
All right. All right, y'all. Y'all got your homework, so y'all know what we're talking about tomorrow. All right, Mr. Beasley, you up?
Oh, it was a good conversation. Supreme only said devil 8 times. I counted 16 before. Maybe had he spoke longer, so he's working on that. And again, you know, it's a good thing. You know, people's biases, no matter who, you know, they your biases, they cloud your thought. And biases, people's biases can be refuted or disproved or debunked with just some basic common sense. You know, anybody that would judge Michael Jackson's children and dismiss them, their humanity, and completely dismiss them because of the way they were conceived, and they're probably right about the way they were conceived. I'm not arguing that at all. But to focus on that and not the content of their possible character, because I don't know them, you know, that's a big part of the problem, because it doesn't really matter to me what someone's skin color or ethnicity or their group is. It doesn't. Because if it's a good person with good qualities, then it's a good person. And if it's a bad person with bad qualities, then it's a bad person. It's pretty simple. That's the way I see it. And free Mr. Solutions.
Not. All right. Thank you, Mr. Beasley. Oh, Lord Hammers, you funny. All right. Let me bring Joe into the house. Joe, you up?
All right, I'm going to give you the name of that particular show I was telling you about at the beginning, so that you can download the show and listen to the worst bashing that I've ever heard. So here it is. Okay, they're going to have two names. I don't know which one's going to be better to locate the show on the search engine, but one of the names is The Angry Divas Radio Show. It's The Angry Divas. But Diva spelled D-E-V-A apostrophe S, not the D-I-V-A.
I got you, Tony. I got you.
Okay.
Okay.
And the other one, the other name is the Triple Dark Goddess. It's all one word. Triple Dark Goddess, but Goddess is spelled G-O-D-I-S.
Oh, okay.
And then when you listen to it, you'll be really angry.
All righty. Sounds interesting.
See ya.
All right, man. Be good.
You too.
All right. Right, there you go. There you go. He's off the phone. And my co-host, Mr. Cloud Nation Radio, a.k.a. Akeem. What's up, man?
Oh, man. Mr. Target was yet another great show. We lost a great one in Maya Angelou, so I'm looking forward to tomorrow's show because I think that's a necessary step forward to really talk about her work and her contribution to this planet. I think it would be definitely beneficial for someone like myself, because I'm not familiar with all of her work, and I know that there are many pieces that I will discover tomorrow. So I'm definitely looking forward to that piece.
Okay. Yeah. So you got your homework tonight too. So you know what we're doing tomorrow. Everybody say, well, you ain't never get it, but we gonna be doing it tomorrow. All right. So all right, sir. Well, thank you much, and I'll see you tomorrow. All right.
Yes, indeed.
All right. I think that covers about everybody. Man, I'm telling you, man, we covered a lot of stuff today. I'm telling you. I still don't know how we got on Michael Jackson, but I guess it just rolled into that open conversation, right? All right. Well, that's going to do it for me today, y'all. It's been fun. I want to thank my special secret co-host. I'm not going to tell you who it was. I'll see how good y'all are. But anyway, I want to thank them for hanging out with us today. And I also want to thank everybody for calling in and you know, participating in the show. You know, it's amazing, though. And I think Beasley said it best. You know, sometimes we let our biases get control of us, and we fail to open our eyes and ears and really listen to what's being done or to explore other options, because the only thing we think is our options is the best, you know, and it's just out there, man. Sometimes we be out there. I mean, we all guilty of it. There's no one person that's not guilty of it, but sometimes you have to step back and, in the words of Michael Jackson, take a look in the mirror at that man in the mirror. Okay. See, he almost got pushed out, y'all. I'm telling you, but I got you, Rob. All right, we got a late one coming in. We're going to let Rob get his last words in, then we're going to get up out of here. All right, go ahead, Rob. You almost got, boy, I tell you, you pushed it.
here's the thing. We got to go ahead and see that there's a problem. Okay, what Beasley said, no. I feel that, hey, look, once we go ahead and recognize the problem, that's another reason I don't mind going ahead and talking about it. But at the end of the conversation, we got to say, okay, well, what are we going to do? Our problems are purely economics. And if you don't see that, something wrong with you. You got these special blinders on to go ahead and not recognize what's going on out here. Come together under that banner of going ahead and having us safety, security, food, clothing, shelter. We got to recognize that we are at the low end of the totem pole. We're not getting all that. And so we must keep on talking about it to go ahead and find that solution. There's solutions that are there. There are also people who are going ahead and trying to go ahead and put something together so we can do what we need to do. There's a lot of groups came together in this country to go ahead and form their corporations. They got a lot of farms that got together, and they built up something, built up big corporations, and their kids are doing well. Why can't we recognize that? We got big problems. And again, Maya Angelou, respect to that sister. She put in a lot of work.
All right. Thank you, sir. You just called in. You just had to get that off your chest, didn't you? It's all good.
Exactly.
Yeah. All right, sir. Thank you, Mr. Rob. You have a good one. All right. Well, that's it, y'all. I'm going to get up out of here. Just remember, keep smiling, show appreciation, forgive with open heart. But first, make sure you're forgiving yourself first. And the biggest and best thing is, learn to laugh at yourself. If you can laugh at yourself, then everything else is gravy. All right, y'all. Till tomorrow, 2 p.m. Central, 3 Eastern, 12 Pacific, 1 Mountain Time. I am Mr. Talk. This has been Let's Talk on Blog Talk Radio. We are out of here. Later.
Used to be a